Joining me now on the phone is State Representative David McSweeney, Republican from Barrington Hills. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, thanks for having me on. And I was just reminded that Urlacher was that ninth draft pick, as they said on your newscast. Best draft pick for the Bears ever. Maybe Walter Payton was better, but a great pick.
Certainly a great pick and a great honor to have him in the Hall of Fame. And very emblematic of what the Bears used to be, especially in that middle linebacker spot, that's for sure. I wanted to have you on to talk about the issue of a graduated income tax. And you have been pretty consistent in your Twitter feeds about your opposition to it and your belief that that would be just really tantamount to a tax increase on most people. Can you tell me a little bit about the rationale behind your thinking on this?
Sure. The progressive income tax is really just a code phrase for a massive tax increase. We see what's happening in California and Minnesota. Those are states that progressives say that they want to emulate, and they have much higher rates. We have the highest tax burden in the country in Illinois when you combine the income tax, property tax burden, and the sales tax burden. And if you actually increase the income tax rate further, we're going to lose people. We're going to lose two congressional seats, as it appears now. We're lost 33,000 net population. We're behind Pennsylvania now in population to be the sixth most populous state. And I believe that raising taxes will actually kill jobs. We have great natural resources. We have great people. Chicago's the best city in the world. The issue is that we have terrible policies, and we have pension liabilities that are about $250 billion if you look at a correct methodology, and we have Medicaid spending is out of control. So we need to control spending, and my belief is that a progressive income tax system would be very harmful to the state in the long term.
But if, as some have suggested, if you were to have this graduated income tax structure, that you could, in essence, maybe offset some of the heavy burden that are placed on homeowners for property taxes, particularly for schools, kind of creating that kind of tax shift, as it were, wouldn't that kind of perhaps maybe remove some of those concerns about people moving out of state if their property taxes weren't as high?
Rick, I have no doubt that it would be a net tax increase. In fact, you look at the precedent in the other states, and the problem is that once you adopt a progressive income tax system, the rates can be changed by the General Assembly at any point. And I certainly don't trust the Illinois General Assembly to set rates under a progressive system. So I don't believe there ever would be tax relief. I mean, you look at states around us with a progressive income tax, and the rates are higher. The problem is that you combine higher rates in Illinois under a progressive system with our high property taxes and high sales tax, and I think it would be very, very detrimental to the state. We need to reform pensions and Medicaid. That's where the money is.
Well, but what if taking aside even the issue of a graduated income tax, even if you just raised Illinois' flat tax to shift some of the burden off of those property taxes, wouldn't that be a fairer method of taxation?
I don't think so. In fact, what it would do, in my view, is we would end up with a net increase. As you know, under Jim Edgar and others, there was this attempt to talk about raising the income tax and allegedly cutting property taxes. What I think we need to do is cut income taxes and cut property taxes. I have a bill that would force a 10% reduction in the tax levy by imposing what they call the PTEL, the property tax limitation factor, on all units of government, including home rule units of government. I think it's better to cut property taxes and cut income taxes. And again, that really means that you have to address pensions and Medicaid. That's the only way to address that at the state level and, of course, pensions at the local level.
But are we really in a position that we can cut taxes given the financial debt load that we face?
Let's talk about pensions. That's where a lot of the money is. Number one, we need a constitutional amendment like Arizona. Arizona is a very similar constitution. You create an enforceable contract with pensions. They were able to do a negotiated settlement. That's why you need a governor who will actually negotiate with the unions. And they actually codified a law that changed the annual benefit increases into the Constitution. I mean, the issue we have right now Rick, as you know, is that benefits are growing at 3% compounded per year. Inflation is only 1.5%. That's driving that liability up. For new employees, we need a real 401k system, and you and me have had this conversation for years, and it's totally constitutional. As part of that whole process, we need to restructure that pension debt. We're on an arbitrary schedule based on a 1995 law that was passed. And then on Medicaid, we need to do a much better job of getting our fair share of federal money. We have one of the lowest federal matching percentages in the country at 50%. We need to complete the private audit of the Medicaid system. And we also need to go for waivers and tighten up eligibility. We need a work requirement for able-bodied people, and we also need to make sure we're taking care of the truly needy. But 25% of the people in the state of Illinois are now receiving Medicaid benefits, so we need to tighten up the eligibility to make sure that we're only using Medicaid for the truly needy, in my view.
Why aren't we capturing a greater share of return from the federal government?
Well, two reasons. One, you would need a change in federal law. It goes back what they call the FMAP provision, which sets the reimbursement rate. Most of the states in the Midwest are receiving over 60% of the Medicaid costs from the federal government. We're receiving 50%. We have two senators who claim that they want to bring back money to Illinois. That would be a way to do it. And our Republican delegation, I know, has been trying to do that. And we have a Republican president. So that's one way of doing it at the federal level. But the other way of doing it is to be innovative. I've discussed this with you many times, too. I have a very good relationship with Greg Harris. Greg and I disagree on a number of issues, but we work together, as I work together with others like Susanna Mendoza, who you're going to have on the show when it's the right thing to do. And he has some innovative ideas and ways to change state law to bring in more federal dollars, but we also need to pursue waivers. We have a Republican administration, and that means that this governor should be talking to the President of the United States about ways to bring in more federal dollars, ways to reform the Medicaid system, and simply he hasn't been doing that. You've written about one day he likes Trump, the next day he doesn't, so I'm not sure where he stands these days.
Wouldn't that hold true beyond Medicaid? I mean, as far as getting more federal dollars for various state programs?
Well, absolutely, but I think Medicaid is the biggest one. As you know, if you look at the budget, the pensions and Medicaid really drive. They're both about $7.5 billion each, so $15 billion out of a $37 billion budget. That's where the money is. But, you know, on the pensions, too, if you had a negotiated settlement with the unions, you could address the health care benefits, the unfunded liability that we have for group health insurance, in addition to the overall contractual issues that are out there, too. So it definitely, in my view, on pensions, there needs to be a negotiated settlement and then codify it with a constitutional amendment. But overall, 100% we need to address Medicaid and pensions. That's a much better alternative than raising taxes.
We're speaking with Republican State Representative David McSweeney from Barrington Hills. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, speaking to Republican State Representative David McSweeney from Barrington Hills, talking about some of the fiscal issues involving the state, as well as the calls by Democratic governor candidate J.B. Pritzker for a graduated income tax. Representative, right before the break, you were talking about, as far as pensions, a negotiated settlement with the unions. Why should the unions want to come to the table, given that, you know, it's been pretty explicit on how the court has ruled involving the guarantees that exist under the Constitution?
Well, that's why I think it has to be a global solution, and that's around the AFSCME contract, group health insurance benefits, and pension liabilities. And I think when you talk to union members, they realize that it is not sustainable to have a 3% compounded growth in benefits every year. It's not a cost of living. It's actually an increase in benefits every year. So it has to be, in my view, a global solution. And that's what they did in Arizona. And in Arizona, the unions realized that they could not allow the pension system basically to become insolvent, and that's where we're heading in the state of Illinois. But it can't just be on pensions. I don't think it has to be also be on group health insurance benefits, on work rules, on wages, on benefits, and I think having that type of global solution is key in the future. And that's why, you know, it's very important, I think, to maintain a dialogue with all sides. And you know, we're in a political environment in Illinois and at the national level, and everybody just pounds the table. What you have to do is roll up your sleeves and do the hard work. And I believe that ultimately a negotiated settlement and a constitutional amendment that codifies a reduction in the benefit increases every year is the best solution.
So basically a grand convening of everybody together on this.
I think you have to. That's the only way you're going to get the three-fifths vote for a constitutional amendment in, you know, the foreseeable future in Illinois. And then I believe that would be approved by the citizens of the state of Illinois because they know this tax burden is too high. But I do believe that there has to be a global settlement, and if the unions are not willing to negotiate, then certainly you would have to move aggressively on other issues. You just can't look at pensions alone. You've got to look at everything as a package, and I think that's the best way to strike an overall deal when you include the group health insurance benefits, but also include wages, benefits, and pay. It has to be part of a global solution. That's the best deal for taxpayers, I believe.
What about as far as the pension ramp payments?
Well, that's what I was referring to, that as part of a global settlement, I think you have to restructure those payments. I mean, we're paying $7.5 billion into a broken system. If you're able to change the benefit increases going forward to reduce those, if you're able to go to a 401k system, those would be very important for the rating agencies. And I think you could then look at renegotiating or restructuring, more accurately, the pension ramp. Remember, that was 1995. That was an arbitrary schedule. And right now you have a system that allegedly we're going to get to 90% funding by 2045. You get up to about $13 billion a year, which obviously will put more pressure on the budget. And then allegedly in 2046, you don't have to put anything into the system. That doesn't make any sense. You've got to restructure the pension debt, but you cannot do that alone. You have to do that with a global solution, as I was talking about.
You mentioned earlier about working with Greg Harris, and this again on this topic of Medicaid, and I know that you are co-sponsoring legislation with him in regards to part of this, the governor's restructuring of the Medicaid program and trying to protect, I guess it would be medical equipment and things that Medicaid recipients now receive, making sure that they're entitled to those in the future. Could you kind of explain that better than I can, please?
Oh, no problem. But what happened last year is the administration in Illinois decided that they would exempt the procurement process for managed care organizations from the procurement quote. I think that was a mistake. Other governors have done that, so that's not the best deal for taxpayers. I have seen zero evidence. I have asked for it multiple times that it's going to save any money. The governor claims it's going to save money over time to move a lot more people into managed care organizations and to have less managed care companies covering us. No proof at all has been presented that's going to save money. One of the things the insurance companies are doing is they're slashing the reimbursement rates to medical suppliers, and all that's doing is driving medical suppliers out of business, and we're ending up with monopolies, in my view, in the long term, which will cost the taxpayers more money. So we have a bill that would prohibit sole source contracts by these managed care organizations for medical supplies, and it would also require a 90% reimbursement rate. This would not cost the taxpayers of the state any money because the money is being paid to these managed care organizations. I think they're making the money right now. And because this didn't go through a full procurement process, the insurance companies are benefiting. We're just trying to make sure long-term they're protecting the taxpayers of the state.
There seem to be some real concerns about these managed care organizations and that, you know, even when it comes down to some of the providers to them, you know, they're controlling a process that, you know, used to be kind of a state controlled process, and questions abound about the ability of these managed care organizations. Are they in it for the money?
And that's my concern, is there's no transparency. Again, I want to be very clear. They decided to exempt the entire process. The largest procurement In the history of the state of Illinois, they exempted from the procurement code. That's never good. And again, this is not the only administration that has done that, but we're in the dark on exactly what's going on. And my concern is that the insurance companies are making a fortune at the expense of taxpayers long term, because so we drive medical suppliers, we drive physicians out of the Medicaid system. All that's going to do is lead to higher prices in the future. And that's why Greg Harris and I worked together on that legislation. And I know you're going to have Comptroller Mendoza on next. We have disagreements on a number of issues, for example, the progressive tax. But we worked together on this recent outsourcing bill to make sure there's proper accounting for the governor's budget. We worked on the Debt Transparency Act. We have a bill to make sure that the late payment interest penalties are properly projected and accounted for. So, you know, it's key, I believe, in this state. There's too much rhetoric and name-calling and these TV ads, you know, back and forth. You can have different disagreements with people, but then you can work together and try to do what's best for the people of the state of Illinois.
But has, I mean, you've cited some examples, and that's all very fair, but just have politics just become too polarized in this state?
In a lot of ways, it has, because we, you know, have a couple of billionaires, you know, who are up on TV every day calling each other names. It's, you know, it's childish. I mean, what I'd love to see is a debate on the issues we talked about today, a real debate on pensions, a real debate on Medicaid, a real debate on taxes. But I'm not seeing that when I turn on my TV. I watch very little TV. I do a lot of reading, but I watch the Cubs game, and every time I turn on that Cubs game, I see at least 10 ads on both sides, and it's really got to the point of being disgusting. But you know what? We still have 3 months more of that.
We have a lot more to go, and tens of millions of dollars in TV advertising to go along as well. But at least now we know J.B. Pritzker likes puppies.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing has just gotten to the point of just being, you know, absolutely just ridiculous. Toilet seats, puppies, the whole thing. Well, why don't we have a real debate on these issues? I mean it. I mean, why don't we? People can have disagreements, but this is really the future of the state. And we have, again, great people, great infrastructure, great city. What we need is better policies, and I would like to see a full real debate on these issues going forward. I think that would serve the people a lot better. But, you know, having the billionaires back and forth calling each other names, toilet names, and talking about puppies, it's an insult to the people of the state.
That's Republican State Representative David McSweeney from Barrington Hills. Representative, thank you as always.
And, Rick, you are not an enemy of the people.
I'll wear that as a badge of honor today. Thank you very much, Representative.
Thank you.